Not only is Deb a superb pianist, but she is also a travel agent. Some of you didn't know that. But from my perch up here, I can see you, many of you with your eyes closed. You are enjoying the flight to wherever she may be taking you. And you didn't know this when you probably picked this, but the feel of it fits the theme of worship. Did any of you hear it raining in that song? And the wind, and it picks up in intensity, and then it's juxtaposed with those words of assurance. Probably wasn't an accident. You know, I've been on some big bodies of water in some very nasty weather in my life, but I never feared for my life. I did come close once, however, but the fear was more from my wife than the weather. We had driven 18 hours into Canada to a pickup point where the outfitter was going to come and greet us and lead us on a 15-mile boat trip back to the fishing camp. And it was a delightful trip back through this gorgeous river system. It was dotted with islands and these huge granite formations all around us. And as we were in awe, I look ahead as the landscape starts to open into this huge lake, and I looked at the water line on the horizon. You want it to be flat. This one was rippled. It looked like you set a serrated knife on its side. I knew we were going to be in for a rough ride. The wind wasn't just blowing, it was blasting. And I told Sue, hold on. I didn't say for dear life. I said, hold on tight. And then I opened the throttle of my trusty 40 horse Mercury, trying to keep up with the guy in the boat who is pulling further and further ahead. Now, if you've ever been in a boat in heavy wind or storm conditions, you know you always keep the boat at a right angle to the waves. And these waves were 5-footers, and the space between them was really tight. And so I was doing my best, going full bore into those things, and we would hit the trough of a wave and go up about 6 inches off of the seat. Wham! And Sue was pleading, slow down! Wham! I can't, I said. Wham! And we were falling further behind. Wham! The outfitter boat was becoming a smaller and smaller speck on the horizon. Wham! Please slow down, she was pleading. I pleaded, I can't. I don't know the way in. We will be killed if I don't do it this way. Wham! So with Sue's safety foremost in my mind, I had to get out of the seat. You couldn't say it. You had to scream it. Lay down on the floor. But even though she had the cushion of a life vest, her whole body now was going wham, wham, wham. Another 10 miles until we made it into the tranquil waters of Pethley's fishing camp. I was drenched and sore. Sue was drenched and steaming. And noticeably silent as we moved things from the boat into the cabin and for the hour following, it was a ride to remember. Jesus and the disciples boarded a boat and set sail for the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. They chose to across by boat instead of taking the long way and walking around it. I shouldn't have said they, because it was Jesus' decision to do it that way, not theirs. Mark says they got into the boat, and Jesus was in that boat just as he was. In other words, no sea rations, no rain suit, no flotation device. He was in there as he was, dog tired from an entire day of teaching and preaching. So tired was he that he laid down on the floor of the stern, curled up, and went to sleep like a baby. Well, the sailing was smooth, but then it turned rough in a hurry. I don't know if you've ever been to the Holy Lands to see the landscape of the Sea of Galilee, but there are these enormous rock formations that come up on either side, really towering walls along the shoreline, which make it very conducive for sudden storms. As the wind is whipping down, it rushes down into that little valley and whips the water into a frenzy. And the waves were crashing over the gunwales. The deck was getting swamped, and the disciples were scared, stupid. They hadn't asked to go on a cruise. Walking, they said, would have been great exercise. Only 4 of the 12 had sea legs, and those were the fishermen. The rest were landlubbers. But Jesus, for some reason, was intent on going sailing, right into the teeth of a double-barreled storm. I want you to think for a moment of all of the hymns that relate to that theme of trusting in God's guidance. Lead me, guide me along the way, for if you lead me, I cannot stray. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by his hand he leadeth me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to fear beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help to find our way. Take my hand and lead me, Father. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the water. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am weak, I am tired, and I am worn. There are so many other hymns in the hymnal that sing about that great trust in God's guidance and providence. God is the safe harbor of our hearts. The Lord will lead us beside still waters and restore our soul. The skies will be blue, and the forecast calls for calm seas, but not always. Sometimes, when you're with Jesus, you end up sailing right into the eye of the storm. Someone sent me a birthday card, and on the front was a table with a bowl on it, and the bowl was filled with heads of Larry from the Three Stooges. Tom Dawson should be here because he's got Three Stooges attire all over his bathroom. It's just a bowl full of heads of Larry. And inside it said, "Happy birthday. May the year ahead be a bowl of Larry's." I thought it was funny. You see, a life dedicated to following Jesus is the very best it can be, but it isn't a bowl of cherries, and it isn't a bowl of Larry's, because your idea of a good time is not spending 4 hours looking after someone with Alzheimer's so a family caretaker can get a much needed break. Your idea of a good time may not be taking 6 weeks off from work to care for a dying parent, or, God forbid, caring for a child. It probably isn't your idea of a good time to take a moral stand and become the target of scorn and criticism, and maybe even the loss of a job. Being asked to help guide the church through a difficult time of decision making may not be your idea of a good time either. But sometimes that's what Jesus calls us to do. After his term as president of the United States was over, Jimmy Carter did not make millions on the presidential speech circuit. And he didn't spend his time under a shade tree in Plain sipping sweet tea. Jesus put Jimmy in a boat and sent him sailing into the storm of civil wars, where he sometimes successfully brokered peace agreements. He went before tyrants and dictators and negotiated the release of hostages. And at almost 90 years old, he continues to get in that boat with Jesus and sail to some of the most impoverished places of the world, there to set up health clinics and hospitals as a witness to his faith. I want you to be careful. Be careful if Jesus asks you to go sailing, because you better have sea legs if you go. And the disciples discovered this in a rather dramatic way, because while their Savior snored through the storm, they were beside themselves. And I would like to think that if I was one of those disciples, that my trust in him would have been strong enough that I wouldn't have wussed out. That I would have trusted right up until the time the storm subsided. There's no way of knowing this, but you know what? I think that if the disciples had said nothing and the storm had continued to grow in intensity, they wouldn't have been killed. No. Ever think about it in that way? They would have made it, but it wasn't sufficient for them simply to be in Jesus' presence. They wanted him to do something. Wake up! We're gonna die! Don't you care? And you know the rest of the story, that Jesus woke from his deep sleep and he rebuked the winds, saying, "Stifle it!" And then he turned to his disciples and said, "Stifle it! Where is your faith? Why are you afraid?" You see, they hadn't been with Jesus long enough to know that he was there for them. For them, for us. Think about those words. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul said, "If God is for us, who is against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? For I am convinced that neither persecution, nor peril, nor nakedness, or famine, or sword will," no, none of those things will ever be able to separate us from his presence. It's important to ask ourselves every Sunday we come here, and that is, do we come to worship with the assurance that whatever is going on in our lives, that he will be there for us and it will be all right, simply because we're in his presence and because we are in the presence of his people? You know, sometimes we come to worship with grocery lists. Please don't let my family break out into a feud next Sunday for my Father's Day gathering. Don't let my boss be such a jerk. Please, Lord, grant me some peace of mind so I don't have to suffer under this weight of worry and anxiety. We're hanging on for dear life, Lord. Please do something and make it snappy. You know, some churches market themselves as cure-alls. Are you depressed, discouraged, disillusioned, discontent, tired of your job, tired of your marriage, can't decide whether to send the kids to public or charter schools? Well, come to worship and praise God, and you will be filled with praise when you leave. Meet people who share your passion for a happier, more prosperous life. Come network with like-minded people, and Jesus becomes a means for getting what we want. I hope there are more churches where people meet the Lord on his terms instead of meeting that little Lord who is simply a projection of our desires. In her book, When God is Silent, Barbara Brown Taylor says, "Sometimes I think we do all of the talking with God because we are afraid God won't. Or conversely, that God will. Either way, staying preoccupied with your own words seems a safer bet than opening ourselves either to God's silence or to God's speech, both of which have the power to undo us." I think of the story of the little songbird that was freezing to death in a barnyard. The little bird was so cold it couldn't fly and it couldn't get one note of a song out. It just sat there shivering in the snow, sure to die. But the farmer walks along and sees this poor little thing, and he reaches down and he cups it in his hands, and he's trying to decide how to warm it up and to save its life. And just then, he sees a freshly laid steaming cow pie that had been dropped by one of his steers. So he took the songbird and he pushed it right into the cow pie. And it wasn't long before the bird felt the warmth and he was rejuvenated. He was so grateful he broke out into this glorious song. Well, it just so happened that the farm cat was nearby and he heard the singing, so he went to investigate, and seeing the little bird singing in the cow pie, he walked on over, plucked the bird out, and ate it. The moral of the story is not everyone who puts you in it is your enemy, and not everyone who pulls you out is your friend. Just because you are in it up to here, just because you are in a storm, does not mean that an enemy has done this. It does not mean that Jesus does not care. Because he is in the cow pie with us. He is with us every step of the way. And I want to leave you with just another way of looking at this story. One that finds Jesus still asleep, but not in the boat, but somewhere else. 1,700 years ago, and that is a very long time ago, Saint Augustine, somewhere in North Africa, writes these words. "When you happen to listen to abuse, it means you are being buffeted by the wind. And when your anger is aroused and you are being tossed by the waves. It means you are being hit hard. So when the winds blow and the waves mount high, the boat is endangered. Your heart is imperiled. Your heart is taking a beating. On hearing yourself insulted, you long to retaliate, but the joy of revenge brings with it another kind of misfortune. Shipwreck. Why is this? Because Christ is asleep in you. And what do I mean? It means that you have forgotten his presence. So rouse him. Let him keep watch within you. Pay heed to him.